Ben.
I'm sorry.
If you would like to get your song reviewed, dear listener, there's the Filthy Capitalist option. It's where he says, 125 gets you straight to the head of the line. You don't have to be a part of the alliance. You don't have to be part of the group.
Wait a minute.
And the biggest thing is you don't have to wait. You hop, skip, and jump right in front of everybody. 125 gets you there. You do that 3 times and then get mashed down to the $75 rate for perpetuity.
Yes!
Also, there is a band review option. So if you've got a band and you're trying to get your band some exposure, hit me up at insoria@gmail.com and I'll show you the details about how to pull
you
that off.
You can also jump on Patreon and there is a option on the tiers to be able to get your band reviewed. Yep. Obviously, we can't lie to you, so we
can't guarantee a positive review.
Get what you get.
It's just rubbish.
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 That's British for garbage.
My favorite is a community option. $1 at the gate gets you in a Patreon. You get to join an alliance. The alliance joins their points together, and that helps determine what songs that we do.
The alliances hang out on Discord.
Message me on Patreon to get the link.
And they do all kinds of other cool things. They do Minecraft. What? Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, yeah. It's really a community within the community. Anybody can go on the village, facebook.com/VinandSori. There's 160,000+ people on the channel. What's cool about the Discord is that it offers a real opportunity for community connection, friendship, that type of thing.
And it's on Discord, so if you're not a Facebook person, it's for you.
You start off at $1.
Right.
Plus you get exclusives. Sori and I are working on a song. So the first 15 seconds of that was on Patreon. Also, at $15 tier and above, when we actually debut the video, they're going to be there live with us. There you are, dear listener.
Buy our merch.
Buy our merch.
And the child shall lead them. This is Jeopardy. No. this is actually Flaw.
The name of the song is Hole.
For the big homie, Tony, as in Anthony, as in Tony Soprano, as in you can see the little ticker at the bottom of the screen.
Anthony said, this is from Flaw, which you recently did for the first time, and it's called Hole, and it's such a great song, an underrated new metal band. So,
yeah, we did do a Flaw song, and I thought they're actually pretty good.
So here we go. All
right, so this is Hole by Flaw, and I believe we have the lyric video. Let's go. Oh, deep bass. That's definitely new metal.
So maybe I am bound by fate, a problematic scarring induced by hate. It never seems to all pan out. Is that what all this teaching is needed to scout? You seem to have a bad effect. Your rules and contradictions I would neglect. Though not my fault, you made me feel like my own education wasn't truly real. The new day writing, tearing out my soul. How could all this loss be your only goal?
New metal, baby.
and change the things that I can't be.
It's about his adopted mother. She took her own life. That's it. You know?
So he didn't have his real mother.
Yeah,
and then he has an adopted mother, and then she takes her life.
I lost my mom, you know, a couple of years ago, but I almost feel like he's in a worse situation. Because all the abandonment issues that you have as an adopted kid, I could imagine, you know. And, you know, I don't know the specific circumstances, but that's difficult, man, because your first mother wasn't, for whatever reason, I just assume a lot of these adoptive kids have abandonment issues. And then it appears that he was in a religious family because he says, disrespecting the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I became the member that you hated the most. Disrespecting the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. A small example of what the things you've done to me have changed in my life and changed the things that I can't be. So I guess toward the end, their relationship got sour. And then she kills herself maybe before...
Well, no, to rid yourself and stick me in that little pit. Personal growth as a child that mattered not a bit.
Then I became the member that you hated most.
But I don't know if that's because... In a lot of times in Christian context, remember, like, Martin Luther was, when somebody committed suicide, they wouldn't bury them with everybody else because they considered them cursed, so they buried them outside. And so I don't know if when she killed herself, it put him in a place, you know.
Well, yeah.
Because it said personal growth as a child that mattered not a bit. So he was growing as a child, but it didn't even matter. Then I became the member that you hated most, disrespecting the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I don't know if it had to... You know what I mean? Like, if they were judging him for why she killed herself.
Well, he's talking to his mom the whole song, right?
Yeah.
So he's saying to her, I became the member you hated the most.
So what are you saying?
I'm just quoting that line.
It sounded like you were disagreeing with what I was saying. So what do you think he means when he says that?
I'm not sure what you're saying. It looks to me like... their relationship was not good toward the end. And then it probably had something to do with religion. I became the member you hated the most, disrespecting the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I don't know if the disrespect there is her suicide because of how religious people think about suicide, or if she was holding him to very high religious standards that he couldn't attain to. And so because of that, their relationship soured and he was never able to reconcile with her because she killed herself before they were able to patch it up. This is what it looks like to me. Because he's like, I grew as a person, you know, and, you know, adoptive kids have, you know, they have issues and they're difficult to manage to a degree. But that's because they have defense mechanisms because they've been so disappointed by adults their whole life. Mm-hmm. So... it looks to me like he was like, look, I'm growing as a person, but because he couldn't rock with the religion or fit in with the religion or whatever, it just created too much of a fracture between them, and they were not able to bridge the divide because she killed herself before they were able to. That's how I interpreted it. How did you interpret that part?
I actually, when the song was going on, I didn't hear this part. I just was really into the music at that point. But then when I just at like a quick glance, I didn't know if he was feeling that way because her actions put him in a certain light and You know how, like, when somebody gets cancer and then people will be like, oh, that's the lady that has cancer. You become the cancer lady. And it's like, well, no, you're more than the cancer lady.
Right.
And that child is more than a Down syndrome.
Right.
You know,
right,
so
right.
I didn't know if it made him, oh, that's the kid that got abandoned and now his, and then now his adopted mother committed suicide. And it put him in this really, in this place where he was, became an object of discussion rather than a human being.
Yeah.
Brokenness. So he said,
yeah.
Making the most of those questions that just keep me guessing. I'm looking longer, harder, further than I ever have. I feel like he's talking to her after she was already gone. Solitude breaking me down. You always seemed glad. So he's saying he's in solitude now. And it's breaking him down. But then he's looking back and he's saying, she always seemed happy. Because maybe she wasn't showing that side to him. But then it says, to rid yourself and stick me in that little pit. So I didn't know if those are connected. Maybe she feels, or if it's,
yeah, he's saying,
she ridded herself of the things that were bothering her, but then that stuck him in a little pit.
Yeah, this or, has it as a separate line, but it's one thought. You always seem glad to rid yourself of me and stick me in the pit.
To rid yourself. It doesn't say of me.
Well, and stick me in that little pit. So obviously it's about him. So.
But yeah, I just then don't... I became the member that you hated most. The member of the family?
Well, yeah, it just, you see this progression. Making the most of those questions that just keep me guessing. I'm looking longer. Like, again, that's religion, right? Because religion's supposed to answer all questions.
Yeah.
Which is not true, by the way. Religion creates more questions than it answers. I was going to say that to my buddy yesterday, but we didn't have the time. But that is important to note. Like, people think, oh, you came up with religion to explain the inexplicable. It's like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, good luck with the Trinity and predestination and the Lapsarian controversy. You know, there's so many more things that God complicates than if he wasn't there. So the idea that we came up with God because we couldn't explain the universe's mysteries would work if we came up with a simplistic God. The problem is he's extremely complex, hence all the millions of denominations and other things. It's not as simple as you think. So, it looks like she was heavily, heavily influenced by religion. And you know, that's really interesting, like a lot of religious parents. And a lot of it, like...
It's true. He said, then you came right in tearing out my soul. How could all this loss be your only goal?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just think, like, there is so much fear in religious parenting. Like, and, you know, I am pretty conscious of like... You know,
there's
I
so much what about parenting?
Fear in religious parenting. Because your kid's going to go to hell, or your kid's going to be the bad one, and everybody, you don't want your kid to be the main subject in the gossip mill.
Well, yeah, because there is a lot of gossip, and there's also standards. And if your family is looking like they're living up to those standards, then there's going to be a lot of pressure to keep that look up, you know?
Yeah, and if you're not living up to those standards, then there's going to be pressure to align yourself up. I'm sure that they were pretty big in the church because anytime you adopt somebody, that's going to be a big thing. And I'm sure the whole church knew about it and blah, blah, blah. But then the kid isn't able to perform, you know, the way that they're supposed to. And I think and it's really interesting when kids get abandoned, they end up blaming themselves. And if you really look at it, there's some sort of self-blame in here to a degree because he's saying things like, man, I did grow. And he says, look, personal growth as a child didn't matter. It's basically a kind of a way of saying that he could never be good enough. And this is in the context of her killing herself. So there's that whole, like, I wasn't able to attain to the type of whatever that, you know, my parents, you know, needed me to be at. And so she's dead because, and you know, I saw with my kids, you know, my, you know, ex didn't kill herself, bless God, but she definitely,
she tore out their soul.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they had to kind of do some internalization and be like, yo, what did we do wrong? Blah, blah, blah. And it's, you know, probably the hardest thing about that whole situation.
Yeah. And you know, for the longest time, it didn't matter how many times you told them it's not your fault. They still believed it to be their fault. And I remember thinking, like, you know, I went to a Bible college and I was going to do missions work overseas and I was going to work in orphanages and love these kids and help them. And then, you know, I thought if you just give a child love, then that's going to heal them and that's going to help them. And that is, no. It takes a very long time for them to even begin to start healing. And it takes a lot of patience to be able to help them heal and be there for them in the middle of all that. So, you know, in a Christian context, they might have been thinking, oh, look at this family adopting, and oh, we're just going to give them the love of Christ, and this kid's going to be okay. And
yep.
It's, you know, it is more like the movies, when the movies will be like, you know, this person comes in to love the kids, and the kid is like, you're not my mom. You're, you know what I mean? Like, they present that in movies and shows because that's real how it is. It's
what was
very
that
difficult.
Song? Instant Family.
The movie.
That was such a good movie.
It was a really good one, yeah.
Such a good movie. Yeah, that's a very, very hard dynamic. It must be a very extremely difficult dynamic. And that's a, you know, and then on the other side, we've been thinking about him the whole time because obviously the song's about from his perspective, but imagine the mom. Like, what was going on with her? You know what I mean? Like, she must have, there's not really much mention of the dad here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it was just a single woman that was like trying to save the world or whatever, but she had her own demons, you know, that she had to deal with. And of course, as a kid, you never understand that about parents. I saw a meme one time and I was like, holy shit. And it said, your kids don't know that you're still growing too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I went right downstairs. And, you know, we talk about it with the boys during the man studies. You know, I tell them, hey, I'm flawed, blah, blah, blah. But as a kid, you generally, unless your parent goes out to do that and tell you proactively, hey, I'm not perfect, or if unless the parent like is just obviously evil, most kids think their parents are almost divine beings, and so if something goes sideways like that, they're absolutely gonna blame themselves. He's got a little bit of maturity though. He says, your rules and contradictions I would neglect, though not my fault, you made me feel like my own education wasn't truly real, which probably has to do with the whole conflict between creation and evolution, right? Like my own education wasn't truly real.
I thought it was however he was living before. You know, I could see like Johan in that situation. You know, he believes certain things about, and he's like kind of educated himself on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
He used to say it all the time. I told myself that, and that's where I got it from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you have this kid who has his own education and he feels like that's real. And he has this mindset that he believes that are real, but he didn't come up in a Christian home, and now he's in a Christian home and it's a different idea than what he has.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's trying to, yeah, throw out all the ideas and your rules and contradictions. He's not rolling with them, you know?
Yeah. Which is not good. If you're a kid, you should follow the house rules. Period. Like, this guy is not perfect. If you're a kid, you should follow the house rules. But at the same time,
well,
it's understandable. It's understandable. Every teenage kid says this. I'm not going to listen to you because you're a hypocrite, blah, 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 blah. Every teenage kid says this. So, like, I understand that part of it. But simultaneous to that, on a real practical level, if a kid is completely disrespecting the parents and not listening to them, then he's going to make life miserable for everybody in that household. So it's just on a real practical level as a parent. Some of this stuff is, a lot of these guys wrote these songs before they started having kids of their own. And then when they started having kids of their own, that's when they reconciled themselves to the idea of their parents. So just on a real, you know, on a real note, he's saying here he wasn't listening very well. I'm not saying obviously the suicide part wasn't his fault. I'm just saying, because I don't want parents to hear this song and be like, oh, I'm a horrible parent. Like, if your kid is just like constantly disrespecting you and breaking rules, you're going to have a hard time. It doesn't mean you're a bad parent. You're going to have a hard time.
I think the difference with this kid is it seems to me that he didn't come up before coming with them in a Christian home. And so life was a certain way. And then he transitioned to these people and there's rules and there's contradiction and there's all this, everything that he knew before is gone. And I think that that's a lot of transitioning for a kid. Like, if I went back, like when I first started nannying for you, I felt like, okay, these kids need rules. They need, you know, they need clear direction, some structure. Yeah. And I think that some of that was important, but there was a lot of things that I look back now and I'm like, holy shit. I held them to such a high standard because I was expecting so much out of them and I wasn't factoring in all the changes that they were going through and all the pain that they were experiencing, and to have given them, been more patient and given them more time, like spread out that. My thought was, because this is how I am with myself, is if you go cold turkey, you'll get over it faster. So my thought was, okay, if I make these changes now for them, they'll acclimate into them and then life will be smoother for them. Instead of stretching it out and letting the changes be gradual, I was just trying to make, okay, off like a Band-Aid and we'll just keep going, you know, because everything changed for them drastically overnight. So I just switched up the other things and tried to, but if I did it again, you know, I would have said, slow down. And honestly, I think that, you know, that's probably one of the things that I'll do when I'm older is help other women who are, I mean, I was nannying for you, but then obviously we ended up getting married. And so they kind of stayed in that environment totally. Right. And I was creating a very rigid environment. And like I said, if I would have had somebody that had been through it before and would have said, you know what, sorry, space it out. Give these kids some more space, help them out. Actually, that was one of the reasons why the Sorry channel kind of went, I stopped posting. One was because the kids were like, we don't want you posting us, which now they're mad at me for stopping to post. They were like, I wish you would have done more. But people were commenting, and I know you don't care about the comment section, but it was like affecting me because I was already having so many changes and I was trying to do as much as, I felt like I was doing my best for the kids. And then people were like, you shouldn't be shooting videos with them. You should be cleaning your house. And like, I was like, I'm already fighting everybody tooth and nail to try to create a certain organized house. And so there was just like a lot of pressure. And so I think that I just pushed that pressure onto the kids. And then I stopped doing that channel. So that way there would be a little less pressure. But yeah, I think that that kid probably had that transition where he went from whatever lifestyle he was having before. I think that maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like a parent that leaves their kid, I feel like that household was probably a pretty chaotic household. Like, to be in a situation where...
Depends how they left. You know,
well, like, I'm talking about if the parent, like, leaves the kid and puts them out, like, to go with somebody else. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah,
he was sent out, like...
Way too many different variables there.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, so he came into this house, and it looks like there's rules, and everything was being pushed on him, and it was just... that's just too much for him.
Yeah, but my point... I'm simply saying that rules are important. Parents have rules for reasons. And so, it's kind of like the whole Anniverse Jimmy Dore situation. Like, there's issues on both sides. I don't have an issue with him, like, saying all this stuff to ventilate and heal. I'm just saying the real healing comes into where you can really, at least it did for me. You know, when I started having kids and things like that, and I started really, really seeing things from my parents' perspective, like, it changed so much. Mm-hmm. As to, it changed the past for me. It helped me reinterpret the past and what was actually going on. So, mm-hmm. he's, you know... definitely ventilated exactly how he felt. You know, there I stood, a scolded child. The reasons never questioned. My pain's been filled inside the place that makes me feel. Yeah, well, you got scolded because you weren't following the rules. You can't have your cake and eat it too. What's mom supposed to do? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go do all that shit. You're good, bro. So all I'm saying is, if you're a parent and you're enforcing rules, and by the way, in the house, I'm not the rule enforcer. That's like... I'm the guy that they appeal to escape punishments and things of that nature. So, you know, my disposition, I'm going to advocate for the kid most of the time. I'm just saying, at the same time, I also know parenting is a tough job. And you're never doing it the way that you feel like you should most of the time. And most people feel really terrible about it. So if you've got a kid and he's not listening, you're not a horrible person if you get upset about it. You know what I'm saying? And good night. Why don't you guys, you know, I showed Danny, we had a conversation with Danny yesterday, and I was showing the kids. He was a big hit in the house. But like, his mom was like, all right, you got to go to bed. He's like, all right, guys, I got to go to bed. And it was just such a cool interaction. And I love that he didn't give his mom a hard time, you know, like he was really respectful to her and all that. Like, that's a beautiful thing to see. So anyway, there you go. Shout out to Anthony. Another good say. He's picking some of these songs are pretty deep.
It says over here, Hole is an open letter to singer Chris, to his adoptive mother who committed suicide when he was 12 years old.
SubhanAllah. 12. That's tough, bro.
Yep.
That must mean that he was adopted like maybe 9, 10, you know? I find it very hard to believe because, you know.
Yeah.
Yikes.
9.8 for me.
Solid 9 again. But it was a good walk down memory lane as far as nu metal goes. Mudvayne is coming up next, guys. Vin out.
Sorry out.
Gone.